Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. It's like, it's Monday all day long. Last week, by the way, we christened it as Meatloaf Monday. We don't have a sound effect yet. Just go ahead in your heart of hearts and decide that you're right there with us. This is Meatloaf Monday. And we're here, and Butters is on the board again. Hey, man, how you doing?
Meatloaf, huh?
Meatloaf Monday. It's always about food.
Always about food.
It's always about food.
Why do we start the show talking about food knowing we're stuck here?
Because you and I both know there's a Meat and Three right down the road from where we sit, and they always have Meatloaf Monday, so we're going to be fine. Fine as frogs there. All right, hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. It would be Meatloaf Monday, but it's going to be a meat and potatoes kind of day. So coming up at 3 o'clock, Senator Katie Britt will be on the line with us, our U.S. Senator from the great state of Alabama, Senator Katie Britt. She will be here to share her thoughts on what just happened in that DNC convention and what in the world happened with RFK Jr. And oh, by the way, did you see Tulsi Gabbard today? All that to say, Senator Katie Britt coming on at 3 o'clock today. And then JP, y'all have heard JP multiple times. He's the guy who comes on and guest hosts my show, works with Dale Jackson sometimes up in the Huntsville market, and has got a brand new sports show. What? Yes, he does. The brand new sports show called Off the Bench. It's from 9 to 11 on Saturdays on The Ump, which is one of our sister stations, 103.9 The Ump. Yeah, so Off the Bench, JP. So we're going to have JP come in at 3:30 today. Talk a little sports with us because, in case you didn't notice, football started. So that's coming up right at 3:30, JP on sports. And then I got a triple dipper just full of stuff. So hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, I'm calling it the Trump bump. Yeah, the Trump bump. Listen, I don't know if you can tell the sense of momentum that came out of last week, but it did. It's one of those things you can, sometimes in the political season, you can feel it. The pollsters can say what they want, and some of them are saying what we want. You can say what the candidates say. You can repeat the headlines. But then there's times when you can actually feel it. And I really do believe that we're in a position right now where you can feel a momentum. So we're going to talk about the Trump bump. Coming up number one on the Triple Dipper and all the things related thereto. And then number two, I don't know if y'all are tracking this, but speech is definitely under fire. The idea of free speech is apparently antithetical to good government compared to the way some people think. I got news. There's no such thing as good government without free speech. So speech is under fire, not just here. It's under fire in a lot of places. We'll talk about it. Number two on the Triple Dipper, speech under fire. And then number three, I'm calling it do it for the kids. So there's been a number of things that have happened and need to stop happening in and around the nation right now. They're worth pointing out, and we're going to talk about it because these are our kids. These are our most precious asset. These are our greatest resource. This is our future. So let's do it for the kids. That's number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, The Right Side Way. I got to ask, starting off, you ever been around somebody who doesn't know you, but they think they know you? Or at least they act like they know you? Sometimes it's innocent, like a case of mistaken identity, or somebody who confuses a professional relationship with a true friendship. Other times, though, it's just misguided. I mean, I can't tell you how many times during my years in state politics, somebody would call out on social media about who they just know me to be, what Williams is thinking, or better yet, just accuse me of being involved in something and yet none of it was real. They know what they think they know without knowing a thing. My usual response to the real, I know all about you haters, was to simply ask, who are you? Usually diffused it pretty quick because they realized they was being told that they're not a known entity. Look, the real haters, though, that when you do that, they'd sometimes blink. But then a lot of times they'll double down on why they just know stuff that they don't know. I once had a moment when it just hit me completely wrong. I used to jog around my neighborhood early in the morning, and there was a man who I would often see out walking his dog. We always greeted each other, sometimes commenting on the weather as we went by, tell each other to have a good day as we passed. And then one day I noticed that as I got closer to him, he saw me coming down a narrow portion of the road that we sometimes met on. But he did not adjust his dog's leash, which was blocking the entire road, so I finally had to literally, like, come to a walk and just step over it. And I still said good morning, and he replied back, "I thought it was a good morning till I figured out who you really are." Well, I mean, it stopped me in my tracks. It caught me so off guard that I just stopped and looked at him, and I said, "What?" He said, "I finally figured out who you really are. Down there in Montgomery, destroying education, berating teachers, passing nonsense bills that do nothing but tear up what works." Suddenly, I knew that I had a teacher's union acolyte in front of me, so I asked him what he was talking about. He began to bow up, said some talking points that he'd read in the teacher's union newsletter about legislation currently in the works. So I just looked at him and asked him, "Have you read the bill?" And he got a bit sheepish and he broke eye contact. Then he says, "No, but I don't have to read it to understand what you're up to." At which point, I'll be honest with you, I had me a bit of a moment. I said, "So let me get this straight. You can greet me like a neighbor every morning, but then suddenly, without any real knowledge about something, you decide that what somebody said about me must be real? That makes no sense. You ought to be ashamed." I said, "Try reading something for yourself for once." Well, he was at a complete loss. I proceeded to tell him several things that were in the bill that he had not bothered to check on himself. He got grumpy. He got embarrassed. He turned around to walk his dog in the opposite direction. The funny thing was, I never saw him again. But that's what happens when someone is told what to believe without ever bothering to check on it for themselves. Look, it's bad enough when the union bosses or big tech or the media tries to gaslight us, but it's entirely another when the government decides what you're allowed to think. At that point, it becomes more of a soft tyranny. Elon Musk did an interview with HBO's Bill Maher recently. Maher started by saying that while many people questioned why Elon would get outside of his usual business portfolio of high-tech stuff to buy Twitter, that Maher totally gets it. He says, this is a quote from Bill Maher, he says, quote, "You talk about this woke mind virus in really apocalyptic terms." And then he went on to say that Musk was apparently a proponent of letting cultural issues be discussed openly. And Musk said, and here's his quote, he said, quote, "We should be very concerned about anything that is anti-meritocratic and anything that is anti-free speech." He points out that sometimes what he refers to as a suicide of society is when you get to the point that you can't question things, that even questioning is considered bad. Well, likewise, you can see what the media is doing right now for Kamala Harris by shaping the narrative they want while pretending it's being objective. Robert F. Kennedy gave an epic speech last Friday. I hope you watched it. If you didn't, it's worth catching up. He ended his campaign and he endorsed President Trump. And in doing so, one of the things he said was this. He said, quote, "The DNC and its media organs engineered a surge of popularity for Vice President Harris based upon nothing. No policies, no interviews, no debates, just smoke and mirrors and balloons in a highly produced Chicago circus." He's not wrong. RFK says he ended his campaign because he saw no way forward and blamed the media censorship of his campaign as one of the chief factors. In the deepest of ironies, too, by the way, CNN pulled away from his speech right as he was telling the media reps how complicit they are in promoting misinformation. Go figure. In RFK's words, he said, quote, "I won't say that you and the media are guilty of bringing down democracy, but I will say that you are complicit in it." So, me talking again, government telling you what to think and what not to think, I agree with Elon Musk that the giving away of free speech is the onset of the suicide of any nation. So coming up here real soon, we're going to hit the 71st anniversary of Ray Bradbury's classic novel Fahrenheit 451. I hope some of y'all read it. Written in 1953, the book tells a story of one man who had the job of being a fireman, except that being a fireman in the book meant that he was the government book burner. I remember reading it in high school, and it's one of the few required readings that really stuck with me. I remember where I was sitting while I was reading it. The book is set in a dystopian version of the future in which the government decided that it must control all thought, and to do so, it removes outside thought and supplies the populace with approved thought. The main character in the book begins to run into people who he realizes are willing to harbor books in their home and risk their lives for them. Keep in mind, this is before the internet. Books were the resource for knowledge back in those days. It has an effect on him in the book that makes him not only question his own role as a fireman, but to question what he knows. He begins to look for knowledge. And the themes of the book deal with illiteracy and caving to authority, and tyranny, and most of all, censorship. And not just, by the way, the censorship of striking out words, but the kind that strikes out freedom of expression and thought, the kind that's designed to keep people in line. Ray Bradbury wrote the book because he was shocked by what he saw in the U.S. during the McCarthy era. In a 1956 interview about Fahrenheit 451, Bradbury said, quote, "At the time I wanted to do some sort of story where I could comment on what would happen to a country if we let ourselves go too far in this direction, where all thinking stops and the dragon swallows its tail, and we sort of vanish into a limbo and we destroy ourselves by this sort of action." Well, right now, across what has been referred to as the free world, we are watching as government after government settles into the norm of thought policing. In the U.S., we've learned that the government of our own nation colluded with big tech to ensure that the approved version of COVID was what was known. In France, a tech entrepreneur was just arrested for allowing content on his platform by others that was not government approved. In England, we recently saw the crime of hate speech enhanced to mean anything the government doesn't like, and threats issued by the UK government to arrest American citizens and have them deported to Great Britain for punishment. Brazil just caused a shutdown of Twitter X for failing to toe the line on what it deemed approved content. Look, and none of what we're talking about is truly about fomenting violence or discord. It's about a narrative. It's about a theme, an approved version of society in the eyes of government that is willing to suppress thought and speech in order to keep the narrative going. And this is a dangerous road. No kidding. We need to push for free speech at every turn. Musk is right. Anything less than freedom of speech is the beginning of the suicide of a nation. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, you look at the first two amendments to the U.S. Constitution, first two amendments in the Bill of Rights. The very first was freedom of speech. Why? Because it was the first. It was the most important. The second was the right to bear arms so you can defend the first. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.